Grace and peace be unto you from God, who is our Creator, and from Jesus Christ, who is our Savior and our friend. Amen. A pastor named Christopher Davis told the following story. When my son Christopher was a boy, I took him to Toys R Us, where he got detached from me. Christopher being my first child, my fatherly instincts caused me to panic. Yet, because I could see the doors, I knew that he had not exited the building. I paced up one corridor and down another, around a corner, around another aisle, peeping, looking to try to find him amidst a crowd of people in the Christmas rush, but I could not find my son. I found a security guard, and I asked him, "Do you have surveillance in the store?" He said, "Yes." I then asked, "Do you have a monitor?" "Yes." "Can I look at the monitor?" "Yes." "Can you scan the floor?" "Yes." The guard began to scan up and down the aisles, and there I saw my son, surrounded by toys, yet crying. My son was all by himself among people he did not know. My son was feeling lost and alone, and I did not know what to do. I asked the guard, "Do you have an intercom?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Keep the camera on him." Then I got on the intercom and I said, "Christopher." And my son looked around because he recognized my voice. And I continued, "Stay where you are." And he was still looking around. "It's Daddy," I said. "Don't move. I see you, although you can't see me. Stay where you are. I'm coming." "Stay where you are, I'm coming." That is not unlike what Jesus says in our gospel lesson for this morning from Matthew for this first Sunday of Advent. "Stay where you are, I'm coming." In preparing for this sermon this past week, I came across a distinction for this text that I hadn't encountered before, and I'll share it with you. In the text, Jesus tells us clearly, and with several different sort of scary examples, that none of us, not even the angels, know the day or the hour when Jesus will return. Just as the people in the days of Noah were surprised by the arrival of the flood, so people will be surprised by the coming of Jesus. We will just be going about our daily routines, working, making dinner, in bed for the night when the human one will arrive. However, so we don't know when. We do know that Jesus is coming. We don't know when, but we know that he will come. "So be ready," Jesus said. "Be awake, be ready. Stay right there. I'm coming." Getting ready, being ready, has a lot of currency right now. I'm sure that many of you spent this past week getting ready for Thanksgiving, and if you are like me, you started preparing weeks ago. You were looking at recipes, preparing the menus, the guest list. Right on the heels of Thanksgiving is the even bigger holiday, the high holy day of Christmas. For many of us, getting ready for Christmas will soon take over our lives. For me, as a professional church person, yes, it's going to take over my life. Since Elijah arrived in our family, one thing I've done every year, and this is in preparation for Christmas, is to have a family Christmas photo taken, and then we include that in our Christmas cards. The whole thing follows a very tight timeline. Before Thanksgiving, make the appointment with the photographer. Decide what we're going to wear. That is completely my decision. They don't care. Get everyone haircuts. Again, completely up to me. They would never do it. They would both have, anyway, no. Get haircuts. Oh, just a sec. Okay, and then after Thanksgiving is over, right after Thanksgiving, decorate the front porch. You know, get some poinsettias, put the wreath out there, even though it's a little early, because the decorations are going to show up in the picture. And then get the photos done, place the picture print order by the first week of December, so it's before Thanksgiving, right after Thanksgiving, a week after Thanksgiving, buy the stamps, get the cards in the mail by the second week of December. So hopefully people get them right. I know exactly when Christmas will be here. I know exactly when, and I know exactly what things have to be done to be ready. But there are other things that we know will happen, but we don't know exactly when, like a baby arriving, right? I mean, we have a rough idea, but we don't know exactly when that's going to happen. We join a new church, but we have to wait for that moment when the feeling comes over us and we say, oh, this is home. This is where I want to be. We don't know when that's going to happen. We are in grief or in mourning, and we pray and ask God for God's presence to comfort us, and God will. But we don't know when it's going to happen exactly, only we know afterwards, after it happened. And then we go, oh, it happened, yeah. We ask Christ to come all the time. We ask regularly, almost with every breath, come now, O Christ, and help me decide what to do. Come, O Christ, help me shed this anxiety that I just seem to feel constantly. Come, O Christ, and strengthen the resistance to the wicked, immoral, and illegal things our government is doing. Protect the immigrants. Protect the fisher people in the Caribbean. Heal the sick. Restore sound medical guidance from our government and funding for our children's lunches. Come now, O Prince of Peace. Make us one body. Come now, O Jesus. Reconcile your people. We are always asking and inviting and begging Christ to come, and Christ will, but we can't make it happen, and we don't know exactly when. How do you get ready for something when you don't know when it's coming? How do you prepare for the second and maybe the third coming of Christ when you don't know the day or the hour, as he said? I read something the other day that I really liked. It went something like this. The culture will tell you that Christmas is a success if you do enough and you, of course, spend enough, if you have decorations and gifts and food and clothes and parties and, in my case, a family photo in abundance. But as Christians, instead of such a material definition of success, we might call Christmas a success when we are able to see the face of Christ in each person that we meet. Christ comes in the faces of the poor, in the faces of the children in Gaza and the West Bank and in Sudan, and in the faces of the unlawfully detained, and in the faces of the Afghan family we sponsor, knowing that Afghan people are under pressure, especially this week. We see the face of Christ in each other right here in this community. Christ is in each one of us. Come, O Christ, let us truly see you in one another. Christ comes to us in so many ways. Did you ever turn around and see someone standing there and you go, oh, how long have you been there? Did you hear what I just said? God's coming in your life might be like that, a surprise. Wait, were you there this whole time? God's coming might manifest as something that needs to be undone in your life, like a seamstress ripping out an old seam so that the garment can be mended, reconstructed. God's arrival in our lives might be God comforting us because something terrible has happened, something unfair or unjust. It shouldn't have happened, it did. And God saying, I'm so sorry. Let me hold you. Let me help you through this. For those who are facing terrible loss or terrible injustice, it has to be like that. God with them, getting through. Here is one way Jesus comes to me. I didn't ask Elijah for permission to tell the story. I'm going to have to start asking. He's getting older. My son Elijah is strong-willed. And when he was younger, his will included not getting ready for bed. By the time he was in pajamas and teeth brushed, we were often running late, and I would be frustrated and angry from the pushing and the conflict. And the first thing we used to do in his bedtime routine, and his routine changes, but the first thing we used to do in his bedtime routine was to sing a hymn from the hymnal. I know most of them. And when I was feeling upset, one, I didn't feel like singing a hymn. And two, something in me felt like it would be wrong to sing to God when I'm angry. I felt like I should get my emotions in order first. But it's bedtime, and we would sing anyway. Every time, the words of the hymn proclaimed God's grace to my troubled self, reminding me that God accepts me as I am in the moment, and that when I feel dysregulated, the words of the hymn are actually what I need. I need to sing right then. How else is God present in our lives? I am sure that it looks like this, like a baby born in a rough shed to a Hebrew mother and father with few resources, like a man who healed and preached peace and who even on the cross offered forgiveness. It looks like the human one risen from the dead and like the very Spirit of God descended upon us in our baptisms and hovering over us each moment of our lives. It looks like Advent, the coming of the Christ who has already come and will come. Let us open ourselves to his coming. Come now, O Prince of Peace. Make us one body. Come now, O Jesus. Reconcile your people. Stay right where you are. I'm coming. Amen. The hymn of the day.